remember to sleep. What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art.
And welcome to Kick Ass with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this month in May by Creative Communities. Kick Ass is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. Tonight's show is pre-recorded, as both Stephen and myself are still out of town on Arts Mahi. However, we have a show featuring amazing New Zealand tertiary performing arts students, along with some great Kiwi music for New Zealand Music Month. So to kick it off, from our own New Zealand musical, That Bloody Woman, here is the title song, That Bloody Woman.
Emma, another week, and we're pre-recording this week as we're both away, and this is that very awkward moment where you tell me where you are in the world and I get jealous.
Okay, so this week I will have just finished the second day of the Junior Theatre Festival in Birmingham, and this time, because we're 11 hours behind, so it's actually Sunday morning. So no, I haven't finished the day. I'm just starting the second day of the Junior Theatre Festival. So another 3,500 kids shipping in for the day and watching lots of shows and busyness. And then this evening in London, we catch the train back to London. And then I fly out from London tomorrow evening to come home ready for a very busy week, because it's almost time for Stage Antics production of 13 the Musical.
Wow. And if we were an episode of Back to the Future and I was talking to future self, how did the trip go?
Well, who knows? Who knows? We'll be able to tell you the following week.
Well, I've just packed out Sister Act last night and down in Tauranga with Jersey Boys. So Emma was in charge this week of catching up with some fabulous, talented young people. Tell us, what's this episode all about? It's a bit of a special one.
Yeah, so it's that time of the year where people thinking about looking at tertiary studies in the performing arts need to be getting all their ducks in a row and finding out when auditions are due. Are they in person? Are they by video? What are the requirements? So we reached out to 10 people that we know, 10 young people who are mostly in their first year, actually. So have actually only been there for about, 6 months? not even that. And one of the students, though, is in a second year. So we have a call with four talented New Zealanders. And then our second interview was with six talented New Zealanders studying in Australia.
Brilliant. Let's kick it off.
So I am joined now on Zoom by four amazingly talented students, performers who are currently studying somewhere in Aotearoa. So let's introduce them. So let's start off with the person the furthest away from where I am currently, and that would be Amber, who's down in Christchurch. So Amber, tell us what you're studying and what year you're in.
So I am in my first year studying a Bachelor's of Music Theatre at the National Academy of Singing and Dramatic Arts in Christchurch.
Fabulous. And where are you originally from?
I'm from Levin, so that's in the North Island.
Awesome. Okay, and then moving up the country, let's battle it out between two different institutes in Wellington. But let's start with Sammy. So Sammy, tell us a little bit about where you are and what you're doing.
Sure, kia ora. I'm studying at Toi Whakaari here in Wellington, and I'm a first year arts management student.
And you're originally from?
I'm originally from Tamaki Makaurau.
Awesome. And sitting next to you?
I'm Charlie. I am in Wellington, and I'm studying at Te Aroha doing a Bachelor of Musical Theatre.
Fabulous. And you're from Auckland as well. And then sitting in his car parked somewhere in Tamaki Makaurau, welcome, Jackson.
Thank you.
So tell us what you're studying.
I'm studying a Bachelor of Performing and Screen Arts at Unitech, and I'm from just a couple hours north in Whangarei.
And this is your second year? Second year,
yeah.
Right. Awesome. So to start off with, I'm going to ask each of you something that you have, because well, for three of you, you've only been there for a term, but tell us something that stands out the most to you about where you are studying. What is the thing that you love the most about your place of study? And let's go back down the island this time. So, Jackson, what do you love the most about Unitech?
Probably the community. And I think, honestly, the best thing about studying there or studying performance arts in general is just the atmosphere to make mistakes, and that it's so okay to make mistakes. Like, it's so hard to find that in the industry. So having a place for 3 years, at least my bachelor's 3 years, where you can make as many mistakes as you want and people will encourage you to keep making them so you can learn, it's the best.
That's fantastic. Okay. Charlie, in the term that you've had down in Wellington, what's the thing that you've loved the most about Te Aroha?
Definitely the family that we've all created with all 3 year levels, because we all do classes together. Even if it's like there's a more advanced class or a beginner class, but we all do stuff together at least some point in the day. And we all get to ping off of each other and learn stuff. As a level one, I get to learn stuff from the people who have been there for 3 years who are like 10 years older than I am. And it's cool to have that environment with everyone.
Awesome. And Sammy, now you're doing something a bit different because you're doing arts management, which we'll unpack in a moment. But what's something that you stands out to you about Toi?
Sure. I love how practical it is, in the sense that we're working in a live theatre every single day, which is really exciting. We're not just studying, you know, what we're going to be doing in the industry. We're practicing it every day and, you know, working with wonderful external tutors as well who are actively working in the industry, which I think's really exciting to sort of get a really accurate window into what your future in the industry might look like.
Awesome. And then Amber, something about NASDA.
Oh, NASDA, I would say we've just got incredible tutors and they teach you so much. And again, they just make an incredible environment to learn, to make mistakes, to teach each other, to support everyone. It's really great.
Fantastic. Well, that's great that you've all got a reason for being there or something that's keeping you there. So tell me, did any of you consider going to an actual university, or for all of you, was it always going to be performing arts school?
I know that I very nearly went to Victoria Uni, also here in Wellington. honestly, because I wasn't expecting to get into TOI. And TOI sent out their acceptance letters quite late. So I was very much, I'm going to go to Victoria and I'm going to study, I think I was going to study like sociology or something random. I'm very glad I didn't, because I would, you know, this is where I want to be. But yeah, it was basically not until I got that acceptance letter that I went, this is something I could actually do.
Awesome. What about you, Amber? Were you always heading to performing arts school?
I wasn't always. I was questioning, looking into things that are considered more stable environments, but everyone who I spoke to pushed me to do something that I love and spend the next 3 years at, in Christchurch.
Awesome. And Jackson, what made you decide on uni tech? Were you always going to do that, or was it going to be uni, or were you going to stay in finance?
Absolutely not. I was dead set on being a vet for pretty much all my life. And then I did my first show, which was West Side Story. And then from there, everyone, like my parents, everyone around me was like, go to performance art school, go to performance art school. And I was always kind of like iffy, because it's obviously, it's a hard and very unpredictable industry to get into. But I think it's just the thing of, I backed myself and I had wonderful people to back me. So I just took the leap and it's been great. Yeah.
Awesome. And Charlie, for you, it was a little bit different, because obviously you decided to give away a final year of high school to study. So what was that decision like for you?
I've always wanted to go to performing arts school. There was never really a question if I wanted to do something else, because performing arts has always been a really passionate thing for me. But I didn't know I would be doing it so soon. But it was kind of just the people I was around and my family who were like, well, you know exactly what you want to do and you are so passionate about it, and school's not really benefiting you in the way that you need to be. So I made the decision to not do year 13 and come down here and do my dream.
So I'm going to ask all of you another question, which is, for you, what is it like, or how are you coping living away from home and parents? Because all of you are away from your family. So let's start with you first, Sammy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it didn't really properly hit me until I went back during the break to see my family. And then I think coming back from that, it made me realize just how far away I am from them, or all the things that I've been missing. I think, yeah, I think it's very easy to be like, oh, they're my family, so I don't need to like call them as much. Like, they'll be there anyways. But it is important to keep up in contact with people, even if you think it's the relationship's going to sustain anyways. Just, you know, to take care of yourself, just always check in with the people you love. So it's definitely hard, especially when I'm going through like a crunch time during uni, and you know, things are, it feels like there's a lot of pressure on you and you don't necessarily have your support system around you as much. But I guess just reminding yourself that, you know, everyone else in your course is going through the same thing.
So Charlie, because you're in the same hostel as Sammy, do you think being in a hostel helps being away from home?
Definitely, because there's always people here to support you, whether that's the RAs or the night managers, or just being in an environment with other people. Mm-hmm. I did, like, when I went back on holiday, I realised that my life back in Auckland is so different to my life down here. And for the first time, I was like, yay, hall of friends, like, let's go have fun and all of that. But then going back, I was like, oh, there's boundaries that are here at my house that I didn't know that I needed to set while I was down there. So when I came back, it was just navigating where I needed to set boundaries and stuff like that.
And Jackson, you're probably actually the closest to home than any of the others. So how often are you taking that trip back up to Whangarei?
Well, because last year I finished high school when I was 17, and I moved down to Auckland when I was 17. So last year it was like every second weekend, if I could, I was going to take the trip, you know. And I still keep that. I still go for trips. I go watch Whangarei Theatre Company shows. I go stay with my parents in the holidays. But it's, I've become more comfortable in where I am now, you know, making friends at uni and yeah, living not far from home was a massive thing for me when I was choosing where I was going to go. because it's just so hard, especially when I was 17, just grasping the fact moving away from my parents. But no, they've been really supportive. I go up maybe like once a month, they come down. It's, yeah, it was a really, really good decision to study close to home for me.
Awesome. And what about you, Amber? What is it? I mean, obviously you're in a hostel that's across the road from school, so that must be a positive.
Yes, I mean, I feel like you're always going to miss your family. You're always going to miss your people from home. But especially in musical theatre, you just create a whole nother family. It's so hands-on and you're always with other people. And being right across from my school is so helpful as well, because a lot of the people in my course are staying at the same hostel as me. So it means that we can all do things outside of school when we have time as well.
Fantastic. Now, if there was something that you've maybe learned already that you wish you had known about studying or the course you're doing, that might help someone that's looking to study, a piece of advice or something that maybe you wish you had done more of before you went, what would that be? Let's start with you, Amber. You're the first one on my screen.
I would say just go in with a neutral canvas. Be the most moldable you can be and just let the people who know what they're doing teach you and just absorb everything you can. I think the more and more you do that, the easier the course is going to be and the better you're going to learn and have good outcomes.
Awesome. Okay. Jackson, what about you? Is there something that you've learned in your 1.5 years so far that you wish maybe you had known before you went, or that you think someone should know before they go?
100%, and it was drilled into me so much in the first semester of year one, and it's just to be vulnerable. Like, you can't be afraid to look silly when you're doing exercises. Like, if you're holding yourself back because it's like the class is going to judge you, number one, like, they never will. Like, I know that from my class, the first years and the third years, it's true for all of them. We're all there to learn on the same plane. No one's there to judge, and you just need to let yourself go and just allow yourself to be vulnerable in those moments that you need to be silly in the exercises, because really it's what helps you learn.
Awesome. Charlie, what about you?
Definitely, it's a lot of hard work. Like, wake up and you've got to make sure your body and your voice are healthy and warmed up by 9 o'clock in the morning to do singing assessments or learn new stuff or do a big dance routine at 9 o'clock in the morning. And taking care of your voice and your body is a lot more than just drinking water and doing a 5-minute warm up. There's a lot of work that goes into making sure that everything is healthy and safe and being used properly.
Awesome. And what about for you, Sammy? I mean, again, slightly different, but what do you think people need to know, or do you wish you knew maybe?
Sure. I think something that I'm learning at the moment is that mistakes aren't your enemy. I think it can feel like a big thing if you're going to, you know, a drama school or somewhere and, you know, that's sort of hard to get into, that you have to be perfect. And I think the thing is, even when you're applying, they're not looking for perfection. I think, like Amber was saying, they're looking for someone who will take advice and take critiques, and they want you to learn from your mistakes. Because I think that's something that you sort of, growing up, feel like, oh yeah, I know, like, learning from your mistakes, that's an important thing, but it's so true. And you see it every day. And even, like, the tutors will be like, you know, I've made the same mistake you've made 100 times. That's part of it. And so I think being able to embrace your mistakes and sort of let them happen, don't be so afraid to make mistakes that you stop yourself from growing.
Cool. So tell us a little bit, what is the arts management course kind of, what is that pathway looking like, and where does, what's the end goal for that course maybe?
Sure. So it's quite a broad area, but it's a lot of obviously the management roles, so like stage management and production management, but also stuff like lighting operation and design and sound operation and design and AV, just a lot of the technical and backstage side of things that sort of make shows run. So they're really good at you know, you can choose whatever under that big umbrella you're interested in. There's sort of something for everyone that's interested in any of those little things under arts management. But I'm personally more interested in the producing and production management side of it. So that's what I'm there for.
And do you guys work closely with the performers that are there doing their performing arts degrees?
Yeah, 100%. We're currently doing a term 2 production. There's also a term 4 production, and then I think solos at the end of the year as well. So when you're working on these productions, basically pretty much the entire management and crew side of it are students. You obviously have tutors who are helping you, but and then the performers are obviously the acting students. So you're working a lot with, like, we have a student stage manager who's always in the rehearsal room with the actors, and everything is run by students pretty much. So you're constantly interacting with each other, which is really, really great for our learning.
Awesome. And Charlie, I mean, I'm assuming that your course and Amber's course are probably quite similar, but do you get to choose, like, more of a major, or is it totally musical theatre and trying to turn you into a triple threat?
Well, I'd say it's mostly musical theatre trying to turn you into a triple threat, yeah. There are classes for everything, and we're always open to go to other people's classes as well. Like, if the dancers who are studying commercial dance are doing a class that you really want to, our head tutor is really flexible with that, and she can just say, yeah, just go along and join in with that class, or go and join the drama kids if they're doing an acting screen thing you want to do. Or it's cool because we can try out everything, but basically our main course is singing, acting, dancing, and strengthening all of those.
Awesome. And Amber, I don't know if it's the same at NASDA, but there used to be in second year you could option to kind of do a play or a musical. Is that still a thing? Do you know?
Well, currently the second years do, I believe, four shows in the year. So they do a play, and then they do a musical, and then another musical, and then I think another play. So they get to try out all of those.
Great. And for you, Jackson, because you're at Unitech where it's stage and screen, how does that split work between stage and screen?
So the stage works, we don't do as many, like, full shows, I guess. We have, right now we're doing Shakespeare, so we've been given a Shakespeare script, and usually we work on it for 3 to 4 weeks, and then we present it to all the year groups. And in terms of screen, we do all sorts of things. We've done short films that we worked with the screen art students for. Right now we're doing a ad for a car company. And it's just, usually there's both going on at the same time. So, like, I had to learn my Shakespeare script, but also develop my idea for my ad for the car company at the same time. So it's just, it's managing switching between screen and stage is difficult, but it's something that they help you learn.
So, if you had to, if someone came to you and said, I'm looking at studying performing arts next year, is there anything that you think, like a piece of advice or something that they should be considering when they decide where to go? Like, what kind of things did you consider, Jackson? Obviously, you've already said you considered the fact that you wanted somewhere near to home, but what else do you think people need to consider when they're choosing where to study?
Number one for me is probably accommodation. Like, it's really quite hard to find accommodation that's cheap, that's clean, and has good location. Luckily for me, there's a place called Waterview Apartments that's maybe a 3-4 minute walk from Unitech. And it's, you know, it's relatively cheap. They have student buildings. So I'm living with 4 other people right now, but they have 3-person rooms, 4-person rooms, and 5-person rooms. And I'm currently staying with a person who's in the same course as me. So he's literally, like, my next-door bedroom neighbor. So, yeah, I think accommodation is a really big one, especially in Auckland, because I don't have to drive to school. And that's a big money and a big time saver, which I am glad me and my parents thought about before I started studying.
Yeah, definitely. Amber, what about for you? What's something that maybe you considered or you think someone should consider when they're choosing where to study?
One thing that I mainly considered was that I wanted to try everything. I wanted to do singing. I wanted to do dancing. I wanted to do acting. I didn't want to have to pick just one or two. And when I was doing my research, I heard of NASDA and I thought, I'll give it a go, try move away from home for a bit. And yeah, I think accommodation is very important as well. Again, being right across from the school, I can get up an hour before my course to warm my voice up and then walk straight across, you know?
And you're in a similar situation as Jackson because you've got shared rooms where you're with other students from AWA, so they may not be performing arts students that you're sharing your flat with, but you're in a flat situation.
Yes, so I've got people from all different courses in my flat, and I do have somebody else who's in my course as well. So it's handy to have a second year in my course in my flat, and I get to learn from them and they get to help me.
Awesome. And Sammy and Charlie, tell us a little bit about your ACOM. Is it a huge, like, how big is your hostel?
I don't know how many people are here.
Well, out of all the, so we're with Victoria Halls, so they do accept like out of Victoria students. We're in the smallest of their halls, so it's like 15 people per floor, so it's quite small, which is nice, I think.
Yeah. I think there's like 120 people here.
Yeah.
But it's very well spaced where it's like if you don't want to run into people, or if you want to talk to people, you can. There's options. Like, it's very easy to be social, but it's also easy not to be social. The food is great most of the time. They give a lot of good options and healthy options. It's not just like a microwavable meal. And it's very, very close to campus, at least for me, because it's like 7 minutes into the city for a walk. And it's a great location. It's like right in the center of the city.
Awesome. And what, didn't ask you to, what's something that you had to consider when you were choosing where to go? So, Sammy, you said you were looking at Vic. So what else did you consider before you chose Toi?
I think the culture of the school is quite important. I think if you can visit the campus of the place you're interested in, I highly recommend. Just because I think it's very easy to hear a lot of hearsay about a lot of performing arts schools of like, oh, that's a toxic place, or it's this, or it's that, or like all these things. But if you can actually go to the place or at least talk to some students who have studied there, I highly recommend. Because I actually flipped a message to Chloe, who I met on the Australia JTF trip, and she's a second year in the same course that I'm doing. And, I messaged her before I applied and was sort of like, what's the school like? What are the people like? You know, is this an environment that you would recommend to other people? And she was really positive about it. So I think looking to the culture of the place you would be studying is a really good thing.
And what about you, Charlie? What did you consider?
Definitely do your research before going. Even just like read up about the place you want to go. And I had a few friends who were already studying, and they would just like ask any questions you want. So if you have friends, definitely ask them about it, because it just gives you an intel of how your days will work and what sort of assessments you'll be doing, and you can kind of mentally prepare for kind of what you would like, especially if your like options are multiple. You can see like which day you would prefer, like whether that's an early start or even like one does tap and you want to do tap, you can go to the just like talk to different people who are doing the courses that you want to try out at.
Fantastic. So we're nearly coming to the end of our interview, but I just want to know from any of you, any advice on preparing for your auditions? Because obviously for Jackson, Amber and Charlie, you probably had to audition to get in. So any advice on what people should do?
Listen to your teachers. And I have a fabulous teacher. Her name's Emma Bishop. She is amazing, and definitely listen to your teachers when they tell you to do things. But yeah, that's my advice.
Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate that comment.
Okay.
Amber, what about you? Was yours an in-person audition or was yours a video?
So for my course, you had an option for in-person or a video audition, but I chose to come in person. And I would say the biggest piece of advice I could give is, yeah, just try, explore the pieces that you have to perform. Do it in front of people, do it to yourself, and try it about 6 million different ways, and then pick the one that you think fits you the best.
Great. So being well prepared.
Yes, definitely.
Great. And Jackson, did you have an audition to get into Unitech?
Yeah, I had a video audition and then an in-person audition.
And was the in-person audition in a group situation, or was it by yourself, or was it both?
We had a group situation. So they gave us scripts about a week out that we had to learn, but they didn't give us characters. They just told us to learn the script. And then we came in, and then they paired us up. And then immediately after they paired us up, they're like, okay, 5 minutes, go practice it, and then we'll come together as a group and perform for the group. And I think it's a thing of what Amber said near the start, is just be malleable. Like, just be willing to learn, be willing to change, willing to listen, because that's what the course is all about. So that's what they're going to be looking for. You don't need to be perfect at the audition to get into the school, because if you were perfect, you wouldn't need to go to the school. So, yeah, I think just willingness to learn and willingness to change and adapt to new situations that the teachers tell you is probably the thing that helped me get in the most.
And for you and Sammy, because you're both kind of doing, I mean, you're not doing musical theatre, Jackson, and either's Sammy, are you having to keep up with your music theatre stuff, dance classes, or singing outside of the course?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. I mean, especially me, because I'm doing the management, so there's not really any of that. I mean, I still find a lot of creativity in the work that I do, especially when we're doing, like, lighting design or something. But, yeah, definitely finding that time outside of the uni is important.
And Jackson?
Yeah. I do singing every Monday with the lovely Emma Bishop outside of school. And then I did a little bit of dance outside of school last year, but we've just had a new movement teacher come in called Ross McCormick, and he is an incredible dancer. He was with the Royal New Zealand Ballet for quite a while, so we've been getting taught that quite a lot. And then we have singing classes once a week as well with the lovely Cherie Moore. And then we're also practicing towards a cabaret at the end of the year for singing, which everyone has to do a solo in. So, yeah, I guess I get it in both worlds, but it's not specifically musical theatre, but there is musical theatre in it.
And for you as well, you're performing outside of the course as well with, like, NYT, et cetera. Amber, are you guys allowed to at NASDA perform outside of the course? Have you got restrictions on what you can do?
So we are allowed to perform outside of course. There's a couple of people in my year who are currently doing the musical Bring It On with the Court Theatre, I believe.
Theatre-wise,
yep, there we go. And there is opportunities like JFK, there's dance companies. We're encouraged to learn more outside of the course, but you have to be aware that you have to be able to hold all of the different things that you're doing and just manage your time.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you guys? Charlie, are you allowed to do stuff outside of course?
Yes, absolutely. We are allowed to do shows outside of course. There are even a few people in the course who have been doing rehearsals for shows and not being able to come to uni, but our tutors are really flexible with that. And it's cool to see the older people getting to do shows, and we all go and, like, support them. And there's a bunch of little shows around Wellington that Kate just kind of says, hey, here's an audition, or she'll just, like, flick us a text or an email and just say, here's these auditions, go and do them. So, yeah, I think our uni is really supportive with that.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. It sounds like you're all having a fantastic time. Just one last question to each of you. Is there anything more that you think people need to know about studying performing arts in New Zealand?
I would say if you're considering it, go out and do it. It may be a scary idea, like having to do performing arts and it not necessarily being stable, but if it's your passion, you should get out and do it and give it your all.
Fantastic.
think my thing is, you know, whilst there are also amazing schools outside of New Zealand, don't feel like you have to leave Aotearoa to be successful in the industry. Yeah, and also don't think that studying is, like, it's not for everyone. Some people prefer to just go straight into the industry. Just don't feel a pressure that there is one way to do anything, especially in performing arts. Yeah, you don't have to leave Aotearoa. You don't have to study, but you can. It's just, yeah, it's okay for you to have a personalized experience with it.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's leave it there. Thank you so much, guys, for giving of your time on a Sunday. And we look forward to following all of your journeys over the next few years of your performance degrees. And make sure you check back in with Kick Arts and maybe tell us if you've got something on or something that we should be following. So thanks, guys, and have a good rest of your Sunday. And happy Mother's Day, because this is being recorded on Mother's Day.
Yes, happy
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When symptoms go from bad to worse, you need a doctor
or a nurse.
We'll fix you up and save your life. But there is so much more to us than meets the eye. As short as
issues nationwide,
like gay marriage
and suicide.
Our topics like teen pregnancy. We figure out what's right and wrong in society. And short the streets. This place is not a scandal. There's more foster than a woman's day. There's lying, cheating, money laundering, drug deals, blackmail. And for unknown reasons, something shocking always happens on Friday.
Lovely blouse.
Oh, here's your schedule for the day.
Thanks, Kirsty.
Morning, Chris.
Nurse Manu.
G'day, mate.
Lionel.
Dr. Water, sign off on this.
Hey, gorgeous.
Alison.
Nurse Rayner, you're on duty.
Yes, Nurse Burton.
Now, let's get to work. You saved my life.
I can walk again.
You're my hero, Dr. Water.
Care if you're queer or bi,
young or old,
black or white.
We're all about diversity. We're an inclusive
and progressive
community. At Shortland,
since Ferndale's a little town,
we can't help but sleep around. We all admit we screw the crew.
Although it's awkward for a bit,
it's what we do at Shortland Street. We've had our share of bad luck. It's surprising we are still alive.
Is it you or is it me? Kia ora, Shortland Street.
Welcome to Shortland Street.
And that was Kia ora, Shortland Street from Shortland Street the Musical.
A great interview about New Zealand and four of our institutes across the motu. Of course, there are more that you can study at, but those were four places that we've got students currently.
Absolutely brilliant. And now we're heading over the ditch?
We are. We're jumping across to Australia and hearing from six students that tuned in to let us know about that. And also mentioned in the interview, actually, is the fantastic page that was set up, the Facebook page that was set up by Kiwi actor Gianni Mia. And we interviewed her a few months back about it. It's called Kipper. Kiwis in Australian Performing Arts or Performing Arts Australia, and really good chance for people to catch up and hear all about things in Australia. But What better, though, to actually hear from people that are studying over there? So let's jump the ditch. Well, I'm super, super excited because now I'm joined by another group of amazing performers from Aotearoa who are actually all currently residing in Australia and studying at an institute somewhere over there. So let's go down the line and introduce them. So tell us who you are and what you're studying and where you're from in New Zealand would be good. So let's start with Meadow.
Kia ora, my name is Meadow. I'm studying in Melbourne at Patrick School of the Arts and I'm studying in their musical theatre program and I'm from Invercargill, New Zealand.
Fabulous. And also from Patrick is Olivia.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I'm also studying musical theatre at PSA with Meadow and I am from Wellington.
Awesome. And then Katie.
Hi, my name's Katie. I'm studying a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Dance at Victorian College of the Arts, and I'm from Auckland.
And then Michael.
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm studying a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Music Theatre at Victorian College of the Arts, and I'm from Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland.
And Kelly.
Hello, I'm Kelly. I am doing the Diploma of Musical Theatre at WAPA, the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts, and I'm from Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland.
And Georgia.
Hi, I'm Georgia. I am studying musical theatre at AMPA and in Sydney, and I am from Wellington.
Great. So, first of all, what is AMPA, Georgia?
It is the Australian School of Performing Arts and Music.
Great. Okay. So, first question I'm going to ask each of you is, what was it that made you decide to study overseas and maybe not stay in New Zealand? Like, was there a reason for Australia or the specific course you're doing? Maybe there was a bit of a journey to get there. So, let's start with you, Kelly, because you've been obviously out of school for a while. So, what made you decide to go and study?
Well, I was looking for a one-year course specifically and we didn't really have options back home, so that's why I'm here.
Yeah. So what are you hoping to get out of a 1 year?
A 1 year. So I already have an undergraduate degree, so I think I just wanted a one-year intensive to take my skills to the next level, build those connections and, yeah, have a new journey.
Now, your undergrad's in classical singing though, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I've got a Bachelor of Music in Classical Voice Performance from Auckland University.
So that's quite a big shift to go from classical singing to musical theatre. What was there any a specific reason for that? Like, what made you go down that pathway?
Sure. So, I mean, I grew up loving musical theatre, but I just never had those opportunities growing up. I didn't have community musical theatre near me. I didn't get to do school shows, but I had lots and lots of opportunities in the classical and opera world. But I think even during my classical music degree, my heart was always a little bit not 100% in the opera world. And I really looked up to women like Audra McDonald and Kelly O'Hara, Kristen Chenoweth, who had come through the opera path and ended up in musical theatre, film, TV, and just having these rich, diverse careers and lots of different things, which is something that I love to dabble in lots of different things. Yeah.
Awesome. And that's also good for anyone looking out that it doesn't necessarily have to be a 3-year degree. So you're there doing a 1-year diploma.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, Michael, what about you? Tell us about your journey that took you to Australia.
Yes, similar story. I left high school a year early to move to Australia and start training. So I was looking for also a 1-year sort of diploma or intensive full-time program so that I was prepared to then audition for a bachelor program afterwards.
And what did you, where did you go for your one, for that 1 year?
Yep. I trained at Dance World Studios here in Melbourne as well. And I was meant to be there for 1 year and stuck around for 2 years. And here I am now.
And you're at VCA. So was there any specific reason that you chose VCA as an option or did you try for elsewhere?
I did. It was a huge benefit already being based in Melbourne. And I think it was funny because the commute from my place to Dance World, where I was last studying at, and from my place to VCA now is even shorter. So it just felt like, not that that was the deciding factor at all, but it felt like certainly a sign, and I just absolutely adore the faculty there. And it just felt like, yeah, the right place for me. And I love living in Melbourne. It's such a sort of artistic hub and cultural hotspot.
Fab. Georgia, what about you? Why Sydney? What got you there?
Well, I had the privilege of visiting Sydney with the Kiwi All-Stars, and I think I really fell in love with Sydney and all the connections that you kind of are provided with when you move over to Australia, I think. And I also just, New Zealand was maybe a little bit too small for me. I wanted to kind of really experience something new, which is why I decided to move to Sydney.
Awesome. Meadow, what about your journey?
I knew I always wanted to study musical theatre. I didn't really know where until I sort of started to get older and be pushed to think a bit bigger than just New Zealand, although I would be more than happy to just stay in New Zealand as well. But the schools that Australia has, I think the training is just at a very high quality level. So, yeah, I just ended up at Patrick's. I don't really know how. It just kind of happened.
Yeah. Fantastic. And it was a bit of a journey. Katie, what about you? Because yours was kind of very last minute, Katie, you getting into VCA.
Yeah, I did find out quite last minute. I finished high school last year and they only told me a few weeks before we started because of our NCEA results coming out, obviously less Australians. But no, I think I moved from New Zealand to study dance at VCA just because I feel like I was at the point of my dance where I was ready to kind of push myself artistically and also personally. And of course, VCA has such an incredible reputation, especially in contemporary dance. And I knew that it would give me the training that I needed to grow as a dancer, as well as Melbourne just being such a vibrant art scene overall. There was so much draw there to move here in general. So, yeah.
Awesome. And Livy, what about you?
I'm kind of similar to Georgia because, I mean, me, Georgia, and Meadow all went on that Kiwi All-Stars trip together, which is really cool that we're all, like, here in Australia now. But going on that trip and just seeing how much musical theatre there was and already the level of training that these kids were at in high school at our age, I was like, okay, I've got to go here. So it was really after that trip that I decided it was going to be Australia. And there was always just something about Melbourne. I'd never visited it, but I kind of just was, yeah, drawn to the vibes. Everybody said that it was the place to go. And then, yeah, ended up at PSA and very happy. I love Melbourne. So I'm very thankful that everything led me here.
So promoting your places of study now, tell me what is something you think that you maybe makes your place of study unique or something that has already kind of taken your heart. Like if you had to give a sales pitch to someone about your institute, what is it? So let's start with you, Liv.
Oh, okay. I think the energy in that building, especially in rehearsals with Todd Patrick, is just so focused. And so getting to the point, I kind of love how, like, some of the teachers' feedback can be very blunt and forward, but I love it. They don't beat around the bush with anything. They see so much potential and they invest so much into all of us and are just incredibly forward with their feedback of how we can get to where we need to be as quick as possible. And I really love and respect that. It really works for me. And, yeah, just the whole vibe there is just everybody wanting to work hard to make it happen, and it really is inspiring.
Awesome. Kelly, what about you? Because you've gone a long way away. Like, Perth is probably the farthest you can go from New Zealand. So what is it about Whopper if you were selling it?
Sure. I think because it is so far away, it does feel isolated here. You know, you're not in one of these kind of bustling metropolises, but I think that is why you're able to focus so intensely on what you're doing. I live here at the on campus at the Village, and you know, we just walk to classes here and there. You know, we're in this kind of bubble, which, you know, it can be a little claustrophobic, but at the same time, it's like we're all in this together, just focusing on our study. And I think what I love about WAPA as well is because we have acting students here and classical voice students and music students, and everyone's all collaborating, and it's just this really amazing little bubble of amazing talent and love and kindness and creativity. It's a really special place, yeah.
Awesome. And tell us, Michael, your take on VCA. You're doing a different program to Katie, but what would you say? I mean, you've only been there a term, but what grabbed you already?
I love that all of the faculty approach teaching the respective disciplines from the point of view of an actor. And I think it's I really, really just soak up the sort of incorporation of acting into singing and into dancing, sort of, yeah, rather than teaching them all as sort of separate disciplines and then trying to add them all together. It feels like acting is already being implemented into all of the other disciplines right from the start, and I really, really love that.
Fantastic. And Katie, what about you to sell VCA? What would you say?
Yeah, I definitely think VCA's location being right in the heart of Melbourne's art precinct was such a sell for me, and it's just such an incredible atmosphere to be in. And also the fact that all of the art students all on one campus, so you've got so many people you can collaborate with, like WAPA, you've got the filmmakers, musicians, performers, and the facilities. The studios are so beautiful and everyone there is so lovely, and it's just an incredible place to be.
Awesome. And Georgia, tell us a little bit about your course.
What I think I love so much about AMPA would definitely be all the opportunities you're provided with to perform. I think it's every 6 weeks you're able to do a personal solo performance, and this really allows you to play around with trying out different songs from different musicals. I mean, I think I haven't really had that opportunity before, and I think it's really, I've been able to push myself, and also everyone at AMPA is just so excited and passionate to be studying musical theatre, and everyone's so focused as well. And so, yeah, it's really just inviting to be at such a strong community.
Mm. And Meadow, what is it about Patrick that's taking your heart?
I think I expected to be pushed physically at Patrick's. They're very well known for their dance, you know, curriculum. But I had no idea how much I'd be pushed in every other area, whether it's who I am as a person and also as a performer, or myself as a singer or an actor or a dancer, just in every single area. And the little nuggets of wisdom that you get from your teachers every single day. Like, there's not one day that I come home and go, I haven't learned something. Like, I just think the learning, which I'm sure happens at every school, it's just the learning. It's so amazing to be a part of that every single day. Yeah, it's really cool.
Mm. Now, I'm going to ask a question, because Georgia and Katie, you're straight out of high school, and versus Meadow and Liv, you had a gap year, and then Kelly, you're a few years on. Michael, you've been out of school for a few years. Do you think that it's a benefit? Do you think your gap year was a good choice, Meadow and Liv? What do you think about your gap year?
I definitely think mine was a huge benefit to me. I spent the year just kind of being in shows and working, and I think feeling more like an adult. I think it was very important for me to still be like living at home with my parents, but organizing my life a lot more, doing things for myself, feeling a little bit more independent before taking that jump. I also took my gap year because a really cool show opportunity came up that I wanted to do. So I decided to put off like applying for schools until the next year. But I am very grateful for my gap year, and I think it has set me up very well to adapt to like independent life here.
But, awesome. Yeah. And Meadow?
Yeah, I definitely agree. It was never something I expected to be doing. A gap year was not on the cards for a very long time, but then when it happened,
I did not regret it one bit. And I moved to Melbourne in my gap year. So I moved the start of September. And that was really good to have a few months to get settled and to also audition over here in person for PSA. And yeah, it was a good year of growth and learning before sort of diving into full-time study.
Mm, great. Georgia, did you consider a gap year or were you always going to go straight from school, do you think?
I definitely did think about it, but I was always pretty set on going straight from school into university. I think I've always just wanted to get out into the industry as fast as I possibly could. So I kind of was always, yeah, pretty set on going to uni straight away.
And Katie?
Yeah, the plan was actually always to have a gap year. I was not meant to come this year, but we decided to just do my auditions for the schools last year, just as a little practice, kind of to get used to auditioning. And then I got in, and luckily I'm very grateful for my amazing family for then saying, okay, well, we'll send you over. But I am quite happy because I feel like coming straight out of high school, I was on quite a high. I was used to the routine, the school every single day. So I feel like not a lot has changed, and I'm still in that academic mindset. So it's been quite nice. It hasn't been a huge shift, which has been good.
And Michael, you have been out for a couple of years, but what was it like? I mean, you've been now in Melbourne, as you said, this is your third year there. So what does that mean? Do you think that set you up in a different way going into VCA with people maybe that have come straight from school or?
I don't think I would have been ready to audition for VCA had I not done the last 2 years of full-time training. I personally feel that really, really set me up. And I also sort of couldn't wait to get into it, the training that is. So, I mean, that's why I left high school a year early. So I don't think, a gap year was ever sort of the plan for me. But yeah, I just sort of relished in getting into it.
And Kelly, what do you think it means for you? Are there many other people that are a little bit older on the course, or are they mainly youngies, or how does it work?
Oh, actually, our course is amazing because we have the whole spectrum. We have people straight out of school who were 17 when they came in. We've got people that have taken a couple of years, done like full-time dance for a year, then come to the course. And then we've got people like me, sort of mid-20s, who have done degrees before or have some professional experience and then have ended up at WAPA. So there's a big range. And I would definitely say everyone's on their own journey. I know I couldn't have survived here when I was 17. I wouldn't have been ready. Mature in so many ways, but immature in so many ways as well. And I think it's just such a personal choice. Do you feel ready to leave home? Because it is a huge thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was something.
Don't rush. There is no rush.
Yeah, that was something that I talked to the New Zealanders studying over here in New Zealand about leaving home, and for all of them, you know, they're that little bit closer to home. What are any of you maybe doing to deal with the fact that you're so far away from home? What is it that's helping you deal with being away? Georgia, you're probably the youngest on the call.
Well, I was lucky enough to move over with one of my best friends who's also studying musical theatre. So I think having someone who kind of knows how I'm feeling has been really helpful. And she's like my little reminder of home as well. So, yeah.
Beautiful. And Michael, what about you? You've been 3 years away from home. How often do you come back?
Oh, look, I try and come back as often as I can. I've been really lucky for the first couple of years. I came back a couple of times a year. And I think, for me, it's just a matter of putting effort into maintaining the friendships that you have back home once you move over. And we're so lucky to have the resources that we do as far as being able to, you know, stay connected. But I think also there are so many Kiwis who have moved over to Australia to study performing arts, so many like-minded people that you can meet and already have that common ground with over here. There's a great Facebook page set up by Gianni Mia called AIPAA, Australia. I've forgotten what it stands for.
It's KIPA. It's KIPA, Kiwis in Performing Arts Australia.
That's the one, Kippa. And yeah, it's connected so many Kiwis who have moved over here to study. And I think also being able to sort of be open to meeting new friends over here is something that's, I think, a really healthy sort of approach to have.
Yeah, definitely. Mido, what have you done to cope with homesickness?
It's definitely a challenge at times. I think I ring home a lot and I keep in touch with everyone back home a lot. I'm not going to lie, it comes in waves. So it's very up and down, but building that community in a new big city is definitely really important. And I think that does just take time. So I'm very grateful to have come over here a bit earlier, and I got in a show before I actually did my course. So doing that was a great way of meeting people and just putting yourself out there and being brave. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, new question. If you were going backwards and thinking about applying again for Australia, what piece of advice would you have? What was something maybe you learnt going through that process that you think someone thinking about going to Australia maybe next year needs to consider, or something you wish you had done, or something you wish maybe you knew before you did it? So let's start with you, Livy. Is there anything that you can think of?
It's like the most cliche ever, but just get it done early. Don't leave it to the last minute like I did. I was very grateful, very lucky to get into PSA, but I did not do my things far enough in advance. And I think prepare for auditions like it's a performance. I think my mind shift in that is starting to finally change after people telling me for so many years. But auditions are an opportunity to perform. And so you should be treating them like they're a performance. Rehearse as much as you would for a performance. Truly, you want to feel like you're putting your best out there. So get it done early. Don't be afraid of calling Australian universities. It can be a bit of a tedious process, but they will help you out. There are lots of complications being in New Zealand applying for Australian university. But call people, lean on people, and just kind of get it done as early as you can would be the things I wish I had done and what I wish I'd known.
Awesome. Kelly, what about you?
I think for me, it was reframing how I look at auditioning. In one sense, you know, you go into the audition, it's like, I want them to like me and I want them to want me. But it wasn't until I actually started doing my callbacks and talking to the staff at these different schools and realizing that actually I'm auditioning them, and who do I have chemistry with? Who do I feel seen by? And like, I knew instantly that WAPA was right for me as soon as I got out of that callback. And that's sort of, you can stress about, you know, on the website researching, and you can ask people, but you won't know until you kind of have that moment. I think you will know once you meet them. And the other thing I would say is to pick audition material that brings you joy. Don't pick things because you think they'd want to hear that, or it makes you look smart or something. Things that bring you joy, because when you perform them, I think that joy is infectious, and you're going to be singing these pieces over and over and over again, and it's something that you need to love and feel comfortable with. Yeah.
Awesome. And Michael, now you auditioned for a few places because you also got accepted to Griffiths. So you've done a few auditions. So tell us about what your learnings were from those auditions.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone else has really hit the nail on the head so far. And I'm just going to jump on the back of sort of preparing early enough in advance, because I was lucky enough to be working with my vocal coach, singing teacher and acting teacher, who has been a tertiary education lecturer in singing, acting and dancing. So he was well equipped in preparing me for the fact that sometimes you can go through your whole process for one institution before even starting another in the audition processes. So it's real. You really have to be prepared from, I think we started in June, July-ish. And also because of the fact that, I mean, I can't speak for anywhere else except for the institutions I auditioned for, but I could only sometimes use the same song or the same monologue or whatever for my audition material because of different criteria from all of the institutions. So I think being across all of the dates of the audition processes for your respective institutions and what the differences are in their criteria, I think for me was really helpful.
Katie, you did a few auditions as well. What about you? What was your biggest learning?
I think I found it really important to research all the places I was wanting to go to and also look at old like YouTube videos and the current cohort and make sure that this was the move that I really wanted to make. I actually also, for some reason, booked a holiday in Queenstown and decided to fly back the day before my Zoom audition, but then my flight was actually cancelled. So I flew back the day of the Zoom audition, went from the airport to the studio and had to hop on the Zoom with about 2 minutes to spare. So my advice is to not go to Queenstown the day of your Zoom audition. I hope you learn from that and don't do that because that was really stressful. But besides that, everything else was really great and I really enjoyed the audition process.
Great. Meadow, learnings for you?
I think the biggest thing is just to put your best foot forward and show them who you are. Don't show them what you think they want because that's not obviously who you are as a performer. So, yeah, just really be yourself and be brave. That's about it.
And Georgia?
I think that during preparing for auditions that it's really important to take breaks while filming auditions because I think there were many times where I was just filming for hours and hours and I kind of just watched the videos back and I was like, I'm starting to look a little sad along the end of it. And it's really important to, you know, although it is really a very big process, it's you have to be able to put yourself first as well and look after yourself, even though it's lots of fun.
Cool. So, kind of starting to wrap things up. So biggest kind of challenge maybe that you have had that you maybe weren't prepared for, something that's kind of been like, whoa, that maybe someone traveling from New Zealand to Australia should be aware of. So that might be to do with the course, but it may even be shifting to a different country, anything that you've encountered that maybe you had no idea you would have to deal with before going to study in Australia. Can you anyone think of anything that might be? Yep, Michael?
When I first moved to Melbourne to apply for a student loan or sort of government-funded things like what we have in Australia called HEX and Centrelink, et cetera, I think you had to have been in Australia for 2 or 3 years at that time. And then this year, or rather recently, it was changed to 8 years. And unless you're a citizen, you also can't access those things. And because of studying in Australia, you also can't access a New Zealand student loan. So just sort of, for me, I think if I'd known that, having a sort of better action plan on how to prepare financially for that with other grants and other loans and all that sort of stuff, other scholarships to apply for, and yeah, just sort of being prepared for that.
Yeah, money's a big thing, especially in performing arts, because obviously a lot of you've got work at night to do. It's not like you're going to a 9-to-5 job and then you go home at night and you can work. You've actually got to be learning songs and practicing choreography. So having that money side sorted out is probably a huge thing. And it's not cheap to study at performing arts schools in Australia. Lots and lots of nods. Okay, other learning that people need to consider or think about before moving to Australia?
I have one.
Yes, Georgia.
A lot of like people in my course had already gone to performing arts high schools, so they kind of knew quite a few things that I had never heard of before, like along the theory side of things. And I think like it's very scary at first, but it's also a really good opportunity to be able to go into it kind of just a little bit blindsided, because it's a great learning opportunity. And also music theory was definitely a bit of a shock for me, I think, going over, because it was a lot harder than I expected.
Great. So there you go. If you're taking singing lessons and things, but thinking about going overseas, maybe ask your teacher to throw in a little bit of music theory while you're learning. That's a really good piece of advice.
I've got one.
It's kind of like more the social aspect of school. It's hard when you're trying to find your community at school, but everybody else at school like already has their community and support system, if you know what I mean. Like a lot of the other people at school are obviously still living at home, or they've moved cities, but they're still in Australia. Families a little bit closer. And so you can kind of get in your head a little bit about like, oh, not everybody is as motivated to make their best friends as I am. And you kind of have to take a step back and go, I'm trying to find my support system. I'm trying to find my community. Everybody else already has one. It's nothing personal. It's nothing that, like, I think, yeah, it can get very overwhelming trying to make friendships and thinking, oh, I've got to find my people. I've got to find the people that I'm going to know for the rest of my life. But really, you're here to learn. Friendships will happen along the way, but everybody's in a different place. And so it's important to remember that and just remind yourself what you're here to do.
Lovely. I love
if
that.
If that kind of makes any coherent sense, yeah.
Totally makes coherent sense.
That's
kind of
one of the bigger challenges.
Yep. No, I love that. Cool. Anything from anyone else? Yes, Katie.
I think for me, in particular to the dance course, it's been surprisingly challenging to relearn dance movements and styles here at VCA because it's approached so much differently to what I'm used to back home. I think the technique, the way that we use our bodies, even the language around the movement has all shifted. And at times it was quite disorientating, like having to unlearn habits that I've held on to for years and been told that that's what is correct and that's what you have to do. But over time, I've come to see that it's not starting over. It's just expanding your toolbox and your techniques. It's been quite humbling, but definitely frustrating at moments, but incredibly rewarding to rediscover movement in ways that I never knew could happen.
Yeah. I think too, being able to, you touched on the fact of it's kind of like relearning, but it's not. But I wonder too whether trying to attend lots of different workshops and it kind of reiterates the importance of working with lots of people. I think quite often in New Zealand, we get with our singing teacher, we get with our dance school, and we tend to stay with them right the way through. Whereas, you know, you're now working with new tutors who do things in a different way. But maybe if we'd done lots and lots of different one-off workshops, you might have encountered that, maybe. Meta, I saw your hand go up. You had a bit of learning or teaching?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm still navigating is having something separate from musical theatre or the performing arts, you know, and figuring out another outlet, because back home it was just a passion and it was my hobby, like more of a hobby. But now that I'm studying it full time, it's my everyday, which I'm very grateful to have and I love it. But because I'm doing it every single day, I don't, you know, you start to sort of lose that, not passion, but more fun in it. So I think finding something that is like a separate outlet, whether that's, you know, going on a walk or crocheting or taking up something new. I feel like that's a really good thing to have as well. And it's good for your mental well-being and to keep the love in musical theatre.
Awesome. All right. So before we wrap up, and I really appreciate everything you've had to say, is there anything else that you would like to share, especially to listeners, like I've said, that may be considering studying in Australia or overseas? Anything else at all that you think you wish someone had said to you, or something you think's important for them? Kelly?
I would just say, I think being New Zealanders, it's even if you don't know someone, it's like as long as you say you're a Kiwi, it's like you know someone. So just reach out. I know in my process, or you'll know people who have been to these schools or who are in the industry, and just send them a message. That's what I did. And people are always more than willing to help. Send me a message. Always happy.
I think that's too where Kippa is so fantastic. So to our listeners that haven't heard of that, Michael mentioned it before. It's KIPAA. It's a Facebook group, which is for Kiwis studying performing arts in Australia. And it's a really good way to ask questions and to make connections. So definitely get onto that.
And if your teacher doesn't know about tertiary studies or providers, get them to ask other people that do, because as Kelly said, there's a lot of Kiwis that know other Kiwis. I wish you guys all the best for the rest of your studies. You're all kind of on that trajectory of a first year. Maybe we should check back in a couple of years to see how it's all gone, or Kelly, for you at the end of the year. Do let Kick Arts know if you've got anything happening on the horizon that we can share to your theatre whānau over here in Aotearoa. But thank you so much for giving of your time to be a part of this, and hopefully something you've heard on here will help you in the future if you're looking to study. So thanks so much, everybody, and have a good rest of your day. Ka kite.
Thank you so much, Emma.
that was definitely an oldie but a goodie. It was the Netherworld Dancing Toys with For Today, which actually featured in a New Zealand musical called Aotearoa, the New Zealand musical. But how was that last interview?
So much insight there and so many good things for people to be thinking about.
Yeah, and thinking early, because it does take a lot of planning when you're going to do all these auditions and checking out all the different requirements that they have.
Now, Stephen, I was going to ask you, because you have obviously been through this journey, one of those people that was in that interview, if people hadn't put one and one together to make two, was your daughter, Katie. So we asked them what their biggest piece of advice was for someone who was applying to go overseas or applying for, maybe not even overseas, just applying for performing arts. What's your biggest piece of advice for someone that might be thinking about studying performing arts?
I think you've got to be prepared that this may take more than one attempt, you know, and as parents, you've got to encourage your kids that it could take 1 or 2 years. We met a lot of students that were on their third attempt at auditioning and then they got in, and you've got to come in with that attitude that the first time is probably all about the experience and shooting for the second or third, and if you get it earlier, then that's a bonus. I think if you're looking at Australia, then parents need to start saving some money, because of course in Australia, you don't get any financial support as a Kiwi other than getting the Australian fees. So start putting that money aside. It is an expensive journey, but it's worth it.
And I just want to reiterate what I said in the interview at the end, that the importance is there's a lot of people that know bits and pieces about different institutes. And one of the people I interviewed said it themselves too, that you need to do your own kind of research to make sure that you, because there is a lot of hearsay and a lot of people assume, and back in the day, a lot of these places didn't take people straight out of school, and now they do.
Yeah.
So make sure that you find someone that does know what they're talking about, and don't be afraid to reach out to your networks or people that you know that are currently studying. Would be more than happy for you to reach out to them.
And even reach out to the universities themselves. We found them really good to answer practical questions, especially around the audition process. So don't be afraid to ask questions.
So that was all about studying. It was great to have a New Zealand-specific show, but I just thought as well that I'd mention that it's kind of coming to the end of Kiwi Music Month, and the music we've played tonight, the couple of songs we have played have been Kiwi music. So we love hearing from musicians. So make sure if you've got new music coming out or first-time music coming out, flick us a message or an email us at info@kickarts.org.nz.
Absolutely. If you've got something coming up in the next little while, give us a message so that we can book you in. Well, Emma, I'm going to take a break for the next little while. This is my last episode with you until September, although you can ring me every now and then and check in. I wish you well with all your different co-hosts that are going to look after you in the studio over the next little while.
And for the weeks when I don't have a co-host, bear with me in case I forget to press the mic button or I have to run and answer the door. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work yet. But, you know, if you're a theatre person out there that might be keen to come in and sit with me and see how the radio goes, come in and co-host with me. Again, drop us a line. I'm keen to have a co-host sitting alongside me. But other than that, Stephen, all the best with Jersey Boys.
Now, we did say we were going to feature New Zealand music in this episode, which we have done. It just happens they're all from musicals. So let's end the same way with a final track, which is Be Not Afraid from Dan Bain and Luke DeSoma's musical, The Invisibles. So,
go out there and
kick some arts.
There's a human instinct affecting people of all types. Depending on our surroundings, we often change our stripes. While we work out who we are, we more than often lie. As we find our place in life, we change and modify. We moderate ourselves, it's the constancy of youth. We're scared of being honest, so we can can't show the truth. We're told that we can only walk where the populace shines its light, when in actual fact the journey is seldom black and white. Well, I have been hanging in the darkness for quite some time, and if more of you walk with me, then together we'll be fine. So hurdle toward the darkness, run away from the light, keep moving in the hard times and you'll end up alright. Be not afraid, stand up straight and tall. Be not afraid, I'll catch you when you fall. Jump into the great unknown, afraid. Putting yourself out there might seem real hard to do, but if you can find some courage, it's amazing what you'll do. And bravery is something you might not know you've got, but it's there in case you need it, even when you think you're not. So don't be scared of struggle, there you look fate in the face. You confront your demons and put them in their place. And if you find your fault,